which, though, I've kind of complained to them that it sounds like an advertisement for schizophrenia. they take this name. They are an upper causal group, whereas the Michael entity comes in from the mid causal. There are also what the council calls upper causal groups that create that have membership from the mid causal teaching groups, and then they create kind of an ad hoc entity, if you will. And the Council of One, their focus is healing, though they consider that rather a limited phrase, because they're also interested in the evolution of consciousness, which is a very big part of healing. In other words, you have to somewhat evolve in consciousness to experience the full merger. And I once asked them the question, well, you guys are up on the fifth dimension, so what do you guys need to have about healing? I thought we only like dinged our knees and skinned ourselves up down here. And they said, it's healing all the way back to source. What do you think? Everything's fragmented, it's all going back in. So we are focusing on this on every dimension. Now today, they're going to be doing a transmission event, which they haven't done through me for a while. So first, I'm going to bring them in. I'm a merged channel, which means I am conscious, but I'm kind of stepped back. Every once in a while, I will pop forward in the merge, though, probably what they call the peanut gallery incursions, you know. The council, like all mid-causal teachers, are very much for the primacy of choice, and we're going to be talking a lot about that today because it's very much tied to the subject of chaos nodes and parallel mergers. The reason they wanted to do this transmission is because it's having a lot of effect on our bodies and fields, and they wanted to be sure to offer you guys information and tools so that you can navigate more gracefully through these times of great change, which, by the way, we signed up for, so we're getting what we asked for. You know, we could scream about it, and we could say, oh, I've got stage fright, but it's time. And we came here for this reason. All of our buddies are here. We're all just ready to go. And they're going to give us also informational tools. Now, www.councilone.org, I swear, it's the best free stuff you'll get all millennium. They've got a bunch of techniques and articles that are there free that you can download. They offer these tools unconditionally. Did I not write it big enough?
Why don't I write it and you talk?
Okay, you write it.
Can I vouch for that as a personal experience? The wealth of information there is truly astounding.
Yeah, like I said, best free deal. And the council offers these tools, and unlike other meditations where it's to get you into a certain state of mind, the council is very practical in their approach, and it's all about orienting your fields for greater merger with your essence. You know, when I first read the Michael materials when I was 13 years old, I said, oh, essence contact leads to evolution. I didn't know at that time I was in growth, but I was kind of guessing it. Well, I want a way to have essence contact with everyone I meet, because if that's the way you evolve, I just want to do it all the time. And so a lot of these tools are the result of my asking those questions. The council brought me to the learning, brought me to the understanding of it. So what we usually do is we usually have a transmission, and then we break for question and answers. But we're going to do it a little differently today because some of the concepts are difficult, and they want to be sure you understand one before we go to another. So if you raise your hand, I may wait before like a transmission flows over to get to you, but I will get to you. So if there's anything that you don't understand about what we're speaking of or what's being said or transmitted, please raise your hand because we need that understanding to proceed. So we have a great group here, and we're going to start the way the council rolls. We're going to unify our field. So breathe light. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath and relax. If you have rubber-soled shoes on, kick them off if you can. Rubber soles block your foot chakras from connecting out, and almost all modern shoes have rubber soles. So, the unified field is designed to unify all chakra functions through the heart chakra and to unify your physical energy field with your emotional, mental, spiritual bodies, and then on up to your entity, your cadre, and all the way to source. When they mean unified field, they do not joke around. What it looks like when somebody's field is fully unified is an elongated spindle torus, you know, with the center point of that spindle torus going through the center core of the person's body, which also contains what we call the pranic tube. So it really invigorates you and makes you feel more at one. The karma game is a game of polarity. And at any point where you can transcend that polarity into unity, you're starting to master the game. So these tools also help you to deal with the polarity in your fields that's attracting opposite polarity in others and keep your field in a neutral position. It works great, guys. I mean, the proof is in the doing. It really has a great effect, so I really encourage you guys to use this later, but we're going to start now with the Michael version of the unified field, which is not on the website yet, but hopefully now will be. So breathe light into the center of your heart chakra. And feel that light expand in all directions in one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the throat chakra and the solar plexus chakra, allowing your physical body to relax and open into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the throat chakra and the navel chakra, allowing your physical body to relax even more into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart and feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the brow chakra and the navel chakra, allowing your physical body to relax even further. One unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the crown chakra and the base chakra, allowing your physical body to relax even more into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the seventh chakra above your head and your upper thighs, allowing the emotional body to merge into the physical in one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the eighth chakra above your head and your lower thigh, allowing the mental body to merge into the physical, into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the ninth chakra above your head and your knees, allowing the spiritual body and essence to merge into the physical field in one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions
encompass the 10th chakra above your head and your knees. Below your knees, about halfway down, allowing your entity in the fifth dimension to merge in to the unified field, one unified field of light, within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 11th chakra above your head and halfway down your calves, allowing the sixth dimensional cadre to merge into the unified field. One unified field of light in, through, and around your body. To the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 12th chakra above your head and down to your ankles, allowing the messianic oversoul, the mental plane, to merge into the unified field in one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart and feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 13th chakra above your head and your feet, allowing the Buddhaic Oversoul, the seventh dimensional I Am Presence, the greater cadre to merge in to the unified field, in one unified field of light. Within, through, and around your body. And one more time, breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 14th chakra above your head and down into the center of the planet, allowing the presence of the Tao, the Source, the Shekinah, to move through the unified field, a unity of light, a light that knows its own divinity. And we would like to ask that the highest level of spirit appropriate to our work today move forth through all the centers of the unified field in this room, merging the unified fields in this room into one unified field in this room. We would like to request the turquoise ray come in from the top of this merged field and fill our bodies and fields with the rich color of turquoise, which is the ray of the seventh dimension. It allows us to expand our capacity and go with the flow without catching up on the snags and the rocks in the river. We just flow. The Buddha was called the turquoise lotus, among other things, and this is his ray. And this is the ray we're going to be talking about, because this is the ray that's most going to help us get through the chaos nodes and parallel motors. So, we are the Council of One, and we greet you rejoicing. So wonderful to see this brilliant light here today, and to know that your light will magnify through the universe and is known. This is like a flare that goes up that we can see in all dimensions. When you come together and gather this way, and when you merge your fields as one, you become a force of power that you cannot imagine. And it is by unifying rather than giving into the division that is constantly being inflicted upon you by your media, by your politicians, by your economists, by your sports teams. Divide and conquer. This is how you counter divide and conquer. We unify. And this is how we choose the highest probability for navigating through the universe. We unify. so that the choices we make will bring us to that highest probability. We want to talk a little bit about chaos nodes because they're a historic thing, but first we have to go back a little bit and talk about what they're based on. And we're sure some of you in this room may have heard of the concept of parallel universes. When the very primacy of choice in this universe requires parallel universes, because that means that whenever you make a choice, both of those explorations, or all multiple of those explorations that were possible, are in some universe explored. So let's say you had a mate agreement this lifetime to marry Fred, and instead you marry Tom. Well, you're going to do both, actually. One, you marry Fred, one, you marry Tom. That's very simplistic. But imagine an entire history of free-willed beings, both on the sea and in the ocean, all using free will to affect the history of the planet through their choices. And very much, largely, which world, in my father's house there are many mansions, and which world you're going to find yourself occupying, which of those parallel universes, is going to depend on vibration. That's all. Not if you're a good person or a bad person or this person or that person. Can you match the frequency vibration of the world that you're navigating to? Well, with the unified field, you're always going to navigate to what's highest probability. Now, what's highest probability for your essence is to be able to experience life by learning through joy is one of those goals. And joy is the state of being. It's not an emotion like happiness, which is very dependent on outside conditions. If you have the relationship, if you have the objects, if you have certain states of being, they may promote happiness. And therefore, happiness is very ephemeral. It comes and goes with what you feel makes you happy. Joy is the state of accepting the perfection of all that is. And it is the first step to wisdom, which is the knowing that everything is one and all that is perfect. When you're in joy, no matter what is happening to you, you will take with equanimity, whether it's something that you judge as good or something that you judge as bad. You'll take the good with the bad because it means you get to take it all. And that means when you reach the challenges in your life that you will inevitably find on the physical plane, you're able to navigate it, maybe not happily, but joyfully. Which means that you're not snagging on the branches, on the rocks. You're just flowing right through that pain, away from suffering, and into where you need to be. Suffering is optional, always on the planet. Pain is not. Pain is not an option of the physical plane. If you come here, you will experience pain. That is a given. Physical pain, emotional pain, all sorts of pain. Suffering is a judgment that we place on the pain to say, why me? Why is the pain here? Why is this happening? What did I do? Am I to blame? This is usually the script for mature and old souls when they get sick. I must have karmically messed up or I wouldn't be sick. The fact is, on the physical plane, you have bodies that are subject to illness. And while the illness can often teach you something that you can gain a great deal out of, your essence isn't going around looking for viruses to throw into you so that you'll learn something. Okay, because it doesn't have to do that. The world will do that for it. What the essence is very good at doing is taking those lemons and making lemonade out of it, basically. And when you're in joy, that's what you do too. So whether they're things that put your life into an upheaval and you don't like them, or they're things that put your life into an upheaval and you do decide that you like them, that is a personal choice, but you navigate it with just as much grace. Now, when you make that choice and you spin off a parallel, you can imagine that over history of Earth, there have been billions and billions beyond countless of these parallels come out. Now, some of them are very minor, and they may just move off into one direction or another a little bit, and then pretty much look similar to the other universes. Others, the collective different choices, have shaped quite different experiences on the physical plane. So you can literally have it all. Your essence has a smorgasbord to choose from. When you choose incarnation, you incarnate across timelines and parallels, because your essence isn't limited, as your biological brain is, to a linear track. And so really, largely a fact of the person that you consider you, your personality experiencing a certain parallel, is a matter of your vibration and choice with each breath and each step. So when there are a lot of parallels going out, it sometimes needs pruning because it's a little bit big and chaotic. Now, we are talking to you from the upper level of what you call the fifth dimension or the causal plane. The beings that are responsible for chaos nodes, they're up on the seventh dimension, and we're studying with them. Those guys are our guys. So we're still learning about this too. But what we're going to try to communicate to you is that you are now entering a period in history where more and more of these parallels that have scattered out are being merged back in. This has happened historically on your planet before. The last time was around 2,000 years ago when you transitioned from a baby soul culture to a predominantly young soul culture. Only it's on a much larger scale because you've had a much greater population creating much more choices. Now, in a chaos node, all that means is that it is a period of unusual activity in terms of parallel mergers. These are happening all the time, and most people don't notice them. But it's a time when it's more concentrated than most. You're getting more parallel mergers or splits. Now, last year, starting in July, you went into a chaos node that lasted until the winter solstice of last year. This year, you went into another chaos node around July, and it will stay until the winter solstice of this year. Next year, you will go into another chaos node starting in July, going into winter solstice for 10 years, for a total of 10 years. Mm-hmm. So we are entering a 10-year period of compression of parallels because they are predominantly merging parallels, not splitting, merging. So that means, in practical terms, for essence, it has a lot more energy to play with. That means, in practical terms, for most people and bodies on the planet, it can feel very overwhelming at times because you're being asked in your fields to pull in a tremendous amount of energy from these collapsing parallels. And so you may have noticed this year things happening in your life and the lives of people that you know and love that have been very abrupt, unexpected, strange, rapid, and it would go from one state to another very quickly. That's the one characteristic of a chaos node you can count on, is that things are going to come and go very quickly. And certain things, people can suddenly get sick overnight, they can suddenly get well. Mm-hmm. You can have these kinds of sudden reversals in a chaos node. Now, the word chaos has a lot of negative connotations in your culture, of course, being a law and order loving culture that you are. This chaos might be unwelcome to the status quo, certainly. However, it's very welcome to everyone in this room because you all came here to shake up that status quo one way or another by your very life and existence. You shake the tree. So for everyone in this room, chaos nodes are pretty happening thing. You guys like to surf that. But for most people on the planet, they can feel overwhelmed and their instinctive centers can be going out. And when another human being's instinctive center is going off in your presence, your instinctive center will go off. That's just the way life is wired. But you can overcome that through the unified field and through calming down the instinctive center wiring in the base chakra. And we're going to teach you some techniques for that. The unified field is on the website, so you can download and listen to that. That is going to be your best tool for finding the right parallel, whatever that is to you. Now, that's why you can't count on traditional wisdom holding. As a, you know, Suzanne has reminded people, you're going to be in a chaos node for next year's election. That means make your choices wisely.
Anything can happen.
And make your choices wisely. There's going to be wild cards involved in this because when you are in a chaos node, you are compressing your timeline. You can kind of see it. Let's say you have these parallel tracks.
Can you use a darker color?
Yes.
Yeah. You have one?
She does.
Thank you.
Let's say you're on parallel tracks. In a chaos node, that's a merging chaos node, these parallels are being pushed through a singularity point. We call that the singularity. It's the time when you reach a critical mass of consciousness shifting from young to mature soul. That's what we call the singularity. And although Susanna, like most of you, is very inclined to see things in terms of events rather than process, this is just one step on a process. You're not all going to ascend or float off to the stars at the end of 10 years or anything like that. However, yes?
Oh, sorry. Oh. Is that a blend or a
yes.
process of elimination at the singularity?
It's a merge, which means no energy is ever created or destroyed, guys. It's always utilized. So all the energy from collapsing parallels, which, again, we don't decide which ones do the collapsing. You guys on the ground do, and the guys on the seventh do. Based on what your choices are, they're going to determine how to move that forward. So it's very interactive. This is a time when people on the physical plane are actually pretty interactive with the guys on the seventh in a way that you normally aren't, because they go by what bodies are telling them as to what's appropriate. Now, we are not going to say that events are tied to this. However, there will be many events happening as a result of it. Also, things that would normally have been somewhere on the timeline in the next 15 to 20 years, in terms of prophecy that people may have had, may be compressed greatly at this time. In other words, you're not exactly on the same time track. Or it could be extended. You know, it depends on what choices are made. Now, if you want to end up in the parallel where President Trump isn't here,
is that a prophecy?
No. We're just saying anything is possible, so you shouldn't discount things like that. So make your choices wisely.
<That's> good with anything, right?
But there will be a parallel in which Trump wins.
Oh, sure.
Just as there will be a parallel in which Jeb Bush wins, and there will be a parallel in which Hillary wins, and there will be a parallel in which Bernie Sanders wins, and there will be a parallel in which people you haven't even heard of in this race have won. So you use your collective will to shape what direction are you going into now. Bernie Sanders and, to a lesser extent, Hillary Clinton represent the mature soul trend of this country, whereas more and more lately your conservative parties are representing the more younger baby soul trend. Now, what mature and old souls understand is that you can't reject those people. You have to bring them along with you. You have to become one with them and bring them along with you. They're at the level of understanding that they are for very good reason. So it's the job of old souls to guide the babies. That's where old souls, we feel, could be taking more of an active role in defining places of unifying and bringing them along rather than denigrating and saying, look how far behind us you are. Well, you were there too, many times, because you've had previous cycles before. All gone through the same one. You know, you can go point at the babies and cry and laugh and all of that. But it's really more productive if you kind of take care of them. Look what's happening in New Zealand, where you have a predominantly mature soul culture with baby souls. They get along very well because mature souls take care of the baby souls, sometimes in spite of what the baby souls want.
Does the council believe in spanking? Find me out. Tough love?
We think that you have explored tough love in all its permutations just fine. We think you've mastered that. So, you might want to try something new. So,
just checking.
Normally when you have parallel mergers, it splits. There are times when you can feel, especially if you're psychically sensitive, as if you're a little bit off balance. Because literally your body is responding to the parallels merging in, and you won't know one world or another which one you're stepping in. You have never, in all of your incarnational history, and we want to emphasize this so you realize what important time it is, never have your essences on this planet been on this planet. In other words, this is your first time on the new Earth. Earth conditions are fundamentally different from any that you have reincarnated with physically, energetically, in every other way. Yes.
Could you elaborate a little bit on what you mean by off balance?
That's cool.
Physically off balance.
You can feel literally physically off balance, where you are more klutzy and you're tending more to drop into things and trip over things. It can also mean unbalanced emotionally or mentally, because you could pull things in from other parallels that you were doing in other parallels, but you're not doing here, but they were really distressing, but it still feels like you, so you kind of identify with it.
So a dizziness and loss of equilibrium as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people have been experiencing that.
Headaches? For their whole lives?
Well, somebody who's really sensitive to parallel mergers, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Losing things?
Pardon me?
Losing things?
Well, you might do that anyway, just because you're like in several worlds at once, but... Yes, you could lose things more. And in fact, sometimes if you have lost an item in the household, you can just kind of concentrate and bring it back from whatever parallel stole it. Okay, I'm going to get that spice in there. It's going to be there. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
It does sometimes happen that way. So you can bring small items back, but don't expect to bring that Mercedes from parallel X50.
Well,
not what all this is about.
Theoretically, size doesn't matter. Let's think on that.
That's true. We're saying you certainly could. Or you could pull that Mercedes to cut too close in front of you and get in a crash. That's another thing that you are more prone to in chaos nodes.
Okay.
Automobile accidents. Because literally they weren't there a second before. And now they are. So it's very important not to text or to do those things that distract you when you are driving in a chaos node. It is very hard to avoid accidents if you are distracted. So
lots of following room.
Give yourself following room, because all of a sudden the car may be there that was not there 5 minutes ago, and you would swear it on a stack of Bibles that it was not so. Yes.
In the space of a chaos node, are there periods of intensity spikes and do
absolutely
and okay so
there, it is cyclical within it.
And so are those moments of like real spikiness when you know you say, boy, I wish I had a Mercedes, and it's the one T-boning you at the intersection, is that the kind of thing that happens?
Well, usually not quite that graphic, but it could.
I mean, well, just even building on your example is all I was trying
yes,
to do.
Yes, exactly.
There.
It can come to you in ways that you don't expect.
Thanks, expect, yeah.
So we usually, when you're
be
building
careful,
a vision...
Steve, it's not going to happen to her, but you're...
I don't want Mercedes.
Not in your front door.
We always say for vision work, you handle the fundamentals and the Mercedes will follow.
So
don't
funny.
Even focus on the Mercedes at this time. Just get yourself in order and everything that you want will come to you. And if that happens to be a Mercedes, that can come to you,
that
too.
Can come to you too.
Nothing wrong with wanting one. So, when we have all of these parallel mergers in a chaos node, we can feel discombobulated, we can feel off balance, but another thing that you also want to realize is that it's a great opportunity to bring things to you in emerging parallel that you want to have. Splits are good for splitting off stuff that you don't want. Mergers are great. When parallels are merging in, that's a great opportunity to pull energy in for whatever project you're working on. So chaos nodes are prime times for creativity and building. And then in the 6 months interim that you're going to have resting between these chaos nodes, that's going to be the integration. And as we have promised, these chaos nodes will be getting more intense with every year. So it was intense last year, it was more intense this year, it's going to be more intense the next year. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means intense with a lot of things happening. But you can easily master this and use it to your advantage. And that's what we want to talk about today, because if you're conscious, you can have a little bit of an edge. Now, your essence can always use this energy, whether you're conscious or not. But when you bring your conscious alignment into essence, your power to manifest on this plane increases dramatically because you're more likely to act in integrity if you're merged with essence. There are certain safeguards on technologies, right? You don't get to teleport until you realize that everything's one because you don't teleport by going somewhere. You teleport by becoming one with that place. So it's the only way you can do it. Obviously, if you are a society that has grokked that we are all one and that's why we're teleporting around, you're not going to be teleporting to someone's planet to invade them. It's not going to be what's happening. So they will definitely be of benefit to you if you want to use them that way. Now, there is a technique that has been published on the website. It's in the article section on how to navigate a chaos node. And there's a great little technique there, but you can make up your own if you like. Holding your fields unified and calling on turquoise. Turquoise is a ray that allows you to absorb more energy. And we really want you to become friendly with turquoise because what these merging parallels are doing most are dumping energy on you. And the more capacity you have to absorb this energy, the better and more gracefully you'll be able to utilize it without feeling overwhelmed by it. A lot of people have been reporting feeling overwhelmed this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that expansion on the cellular level is what turquoise will bring you. Literally, at the cellular level, it opens up contraction. Now, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with contraction. Contraction is necessary for expansion. You can imagine it like muscles building up before a jump. It's required, but you don't want to contract very much during a chaos node like this, where it's merging in, because that's where things will feel like they are overwhelming you. So if you feel like you're tensed up, like you just can't handle anymore, start breathing. We have the essence breath, we have the unified field. Those are all very good tools for hitting that ceiling, breathing past it, and opening up to a new plateau. Then hitting that ceiling and expanding it again. You just ever expanding capacity, ease, and grace is a very good mantra for a chaos node. So, are you all with me so far?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah.
I don't know what a chaos node is.
Oh, well, as we described it, a chaos node is a period of time or a segment of time on the physical plane when there are more mergers or splits than normal happening.
Yeah.
It's a concentration, and we call it a chaos node, which is kind of funny because it's actually planned. In other words, the 7VB beings plan it for historical purposes because they can see the whole timeline. And so they know what kind of energy has to be put here. On the seventh dimension, we're playing a very, very long game, very big game. But we have to do it by interacting with the physical beings that still have bodies on the planet. We all have to evolve together. We don't evolve without influencing how you influence probability. And the seventh dimension is influencing probabilities, but they're getting feedback also from you as to what you want to see. There have been several parallels where you've destroyed this planet. You just hop to parallels and keep trying. because you have to master planetary management 101 before you can go out there and start creating universes. And that's going to take a lot of tries, honestly. The average number of previous cycles on this planet is 3 or 4. That, by universal standards, is not considered very advanced. So nobody expects you to be doing better than you are. We all have to, we've done it too when we were incarnating, over and over again. And now we're seeing you and trying to influence you not to make the same mistakes we did. Because we're evolving also. And those, you know, those entities that are still reforming to move up to the fifth are keeping people in bodies of their entity as long as possible, because as long as you've got a body on the ground, you can directly influence this plane. And so the stragglers, the ones that are supposedly slow compared to the rest of their entity, that's all done by design so that they can keep their foot in as long as possible before they go up. The more the time we have direct influence on the physical plane, the better, because the physical plane is where change happens, guys. Nothing happens in the universe without what happens here, because you don't have time off the physical plane. And the only way you can measure change is through time. It was this way Tuesday, it's this way Thursday. We don't have that on the other dimensions. The only way we can have that is through you, who are still living in the period of time to influence growth and evolution. And that's what this whole game is about. We are blessed to live in a universe that grants us all absolute, total, and complete consent and permission. We can do anything, literally. We can choose anything, because the source knows that by allowing that wide range of free choice and free will, it's going to get somewhere it couldn't imagine going. It's going to consider novel ideas. It's going to encounter novel things. And encountering that novelty is going to require a different response. And in requiring that different response, its consciousness grows. This is how evolution happens. And again, it's not necessarily better. It's more adapted to whatever's happening around it. You are trying to create collectively, all of you that are here working on the planet and playing what we call the metagame. Meaning there's the game of the karma game coming in and doing that, and all of you are doing that too. But then there's the metagame of how do we influence culture overall through history. And that's the game that you are all playing in this lifetime, coming into bodies this time. Bringing your bodies on the ground right now. Usually in between lifetimes, people are going to wait, especially if they're older souls, might wait quite a bit between incarnations. Not anymore. It's like a turnstile up there on the astral. They're jumping up and jumping right back in. Whoa, I want to get another body right away. They don't want to miss it. Nobody wants to miss it. So every time you think, I want to be out of this, remember,
you'll be right back.
You're going to come right back.
I kind of missed what it is. I didn't hear that part when you said, I don't want to miss it.
All of it. What's happening now. Okay. This time on the planet. The chaos nodes that are happening.
Okay, that's what it is.
Planetary transition.
The planetary transition. Yeah.
One of the things I get asked as a microchannel all the time is when somebody's going to check out. And I can tell you, 5, 6 years ago, they were good within days.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
You got to watch it.
It's amazing. It's like, that person's not going to live through March. And March, they're kicking along.
Or the opposite.
Yeah, or they check out real fast.
Right.
But in particular, people who, you know, want to stay here, the ability of people to be really greedy about absorbing physical plane experiences right now is so much different.
Oh,
yeah. Even just 5 years ago.
Do you mean it's higher, lower?
Higher. Much higher.
And the technology
just
exists.
With my last breath, I stab at thee kind of energy. I'm not going. You need to go. I don't want to go. You know?
Exactly.
But
they don't want to miss this show.
We appreciate that. On one level, you know you're going to come right back, but when you're in the game and it's really so cool, it's like...
It's hard to go home
okay,
and
stay.
Start over as a
okay,
baby
I'll stay.
After that.
Yeah. It's really hard to
I
go.
I know, and you don't know anything.
Unless you're walking in, you're going to start out as a baby and you have to start all over the acculturation process.
I know, it's just
and go
so
through all of what you learned to be a functional light worker here and do that all again.
That's
again.
So hard.
Counsel, isn't this, the, in a way, what we're discussing here, the difference between the perspective of essence and the perspective of personalities?
Exactly. You know, what we do like to say is that if your essence wants you to do it, I guarantee you your personality is going to love it.
Did you redefine love it?
No, no, no.
That's true.
Believe me, you will love the results.
Yeah.
You may not know it, but you will come to love the results. You will come to see in the hindsight of 2020.
It's just so hard to yield to it, isn't it?
It's surrender, and it's the hardest thing you might ever do, especially in a culture that's very martial and sees surrender as a very dirty word.
I know. We understand.
Surrender is releasing the resistance that is holding you in place. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
You're just releasing resistance that's holding you in place.
Let
yes.
go.
If I could formulate this question. You spoke of essence and personality.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I don't want to go into what that, you know, all of what's. Then you said results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Essence and personality are actors.
Yes.
And then there are results. What are these results you're talking about?
Whatever the results are in life. Whatever it is that essence is trying to accomplish. Whether that's a
okay.
new career
something
path.
Something like life goal or life task.
Possibly,
like,
or
yeah.
even just going down and getting an ice cream.
Okay.
It could be something that simple or something that implies your entire life work here. But the primary life work of every essence is to love more. That is the primary directive. Everything else is secondary. And will serve that ultimately. So when people talk about their essences coming in with a life task, we're afraid that you might mean that your essence comes in with a checklist of goals, the way you might put it together as a personality. And that's, it's much more fluid than that. It has to be because there's going to be unexpected occurrences on the physical plane. So it sketches a kind of broad outline. Okay, I have some karmic interactions. I need some ribbons to burn with these people. This, you set up kind of a vague outline, and then you go down and see what happens. You set up the conditions, the genetics, the personality that will help foster that. And so because it sets up the personality to foster that, whatever is carrying you forward on the life goal, whatever the person may be saying or complaining about, is exactly what they want to be doing. Because it's furthering the goal of essence, and ultimately the personality exists to serve essence. And when you unify your fields and get very practiced at that, you start to identify not as a personality with an essence or in a body attached like a suitcase, but as essence expressing through this personality and body and fields.
Oh, feels good.
So that you are now in that transpersonal space of seeing the whole rather than the polarity. Because polarity is a great teaching tool. It teaches us about the balance of energy. Karma is all about balancing energy. You go to one extreme, you do the other extreme. But as the Buddha said, when you're in the middle path, when you're transpersonal, you're not going to be able to achieve that at all times on the physical plane. That's not the nature of the physical plane experience. And nor would it be desirable, because there's a lot that can be learned through polarity. But understanding on the transpersonal sense that I'm doing this as a process for learning lets you take some of the sting out of it. It's not as personal. So then you also know, okay, well, if I don't want to create karma, I guess I have to stop projecting polarity in my fields. How do I do that? Well, there's the transpersonal spiral, there's the unified field, there's probably techniques out there that other beings have channeled through, you know, other people that we channel through in other countries and such, and they come with it with different words and structures, but it's going to be basically the same thing. It is going to line you up with your own energy. It is going to align you with your spiritual purpose, whatever that might be. And right now, everyone wants to be here, trust us. So if you're in a hurry to get out of here, you're just going to be coming right back, honestly. We know you can feel tired because you're compressing lots of lifetimes worth of experience, all of you, into a single lifetime. Mm. That's gonna. If you feel tired some days, that's a really good reason why. You're cramming multiple lifetimes worth of experience into one. That's why we all wanted to be here, every one of us here. Yes.
To that, like you said, July to the solstice last year and July to the solstice.
Could it be July to the solstice every
and
year?
Every year for 10 years.
Yes,
okay.
Starting last year.
All right.
So
and
for another 8 years.
A little more.
But then that's not going to be the end of the world as we know it. I mean, it might be the end of the world as we know it. It's not going to be like the end of the world or some big everybody goes up into space or anything like that. It's or the infinite soul shows up. We don't want to comment on things like that.
No rapture.
But it's all part, no rapture except for what you create for yourself here. But it's all bringing this planet to a historic shifting point. When a planet makes the transition from young to mature, there has to be a planetary crisis, just like there is for every nation that goes through the transition from young to mature. The planetary crisis, we think that you see the broad strokes of that already. Okay, that's already very evident, what that planetary crisis, what form it may take. And it looks environmental.
No idea.
Mm.
In this parallel.
Really?
So that is the wake-up call, the clarion call, if you will, to accelerate the opening of mature soul consciousness so that you can continue incarnating here. No early graduation for blowing up the schoolhouse. You don't make it here. You'll make it somewhere else.
Fine, darling.
So, There's a, very much a sense of urgency in everyone in a body right now. You know how important this time is. All times are important to the soul. Every time that you exist is going to have things of historical moment happening. But at no time in your incarnational history have you been on a planet that was inwardly focused rather than externally focused. The lessons of the infant, mature, the infant, baby, and young soul cycles are all about external expansion. How do we expand out in the world? How does a planet look when the expansion is focused inward? Well, you're about to create that, because it hasn't been here in this cycle yet. And that is the singularity that we talk about. You have already, as of around 2012, passed the number threshold. In other words, there are more mature souls incarnate now than there are any other soul age, by slight margin. But that doesn't mean you're going to transform into a mature soul culture overnight. Mm-hmm. That's going to unfold over hundreds of years. But you're starting to see the seeds of that unfold right now. And those seeds are all about community, relationship. We are one with the earth. It's all about community. And any infinite soul manifestation is going to be multiple this time. Because before it was all about the great hero bringing the truth on down. Usually a guy.
Yeah.
A white guy. Bring down the news.
A guy we call white anyway.
A guy we call white.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure that he was really white.
Because you make gods in your image.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yes.
Council, just a point of clarification on the 10-year node. Did I understand correctly that for 10 consecutive years,
yes,
it'll be July to winter,
yes,
not one consecutive 10-year chaos?
No.
There'll be integration 6-month
exactly
periods. Okay, got it.
Right. Oh, it's half of the year every year for
okay,
10 years.
Got
the
it.
Other half of the year, you get to integrate what went before.
The way you phrased that, though, the fact that we've had several, and then you pick out this, quote, 10-year, is there...
This is unusual.
This 10-year, that it's 10 consecutive years?
Yes, that's
okay,
unusual.
And yet, is there also, is that 10-year representing that singularity concentration? That,
yes.
That's what's, okay, I was just
this,
trying to
this
put
is,
it in my mind.
You can imagine all these streams coming together to go through a narrow channel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's concentrating the energy to go through, you could call it going through the birth canal. Mm-hmm. You could call it breaking through...
The ice.
Breaking through the gate. Transforming. It's going to look very different on the other side. You will not be on the same planet. You already aren't, physically. You have never been incarnate on a planet where you were breathing air that was 400 parts per million carbon dioxide. You are literally on a different planet now. Just being in a body is enough novelty to spur evolution. Not just the physical evolution of your body, but consciousness evolution. How do we deal with this? How are we as a culture going to respond to what we have co-created? How are we going to take responsibility for what we've created and create something different if we don't like that? That responsibility is in all of us. We don't like what we're seeing out there. We have to become that change. We can't be blaming Trump or Sanders or somebody else for not doing the job. We have to create that change because it's only going to happen from where we're standing on the physical planet. So the leaders will come after we change. If we want better leaders, we become those better people. And we say, we don't deal with divisive politics anymore. We don't want to do the divide and conquer game anymore. We want to do the unify and succeed game. And that's what you guys are wrestling with on the physical side.
Yeah. I have a question. Now, take us back to bringing us to get rid of the human will and go into the essence, you know, in other words, let go, let essence. With that unifying exercise you gave us at the beginning, before you unify the whole room, is that doing it? Is that doing it?
We wouldn't tell you this stuff without giving you practical
tools. No, but I meant,
yes.
So at the end of this, we all go off on our separate lives here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, in terms of how do we work together to create this? Or
you've already entangled your fields. You're going to be in touch the rest of your lives now.
I like it.
Once consciousness has come into contact with it, it never separates. And it was one consciousness at the Big Bang, and it's still all connected. Yes.
So, given that we will successfully, however that's defined, make it to the next 10 years, into the singularity, and then out through the other side.
Oh, you will make it there, yes.
So, as immature.
Well, yes, again, but it's not going to be like all of a sudden a switch is flipped.
Is that the continuous process for evolution? So then we're at the mature level, stay there, rest for, I don't know, a millennium, and then begin another chaotic multiple place?
It'll take another chaos node for mature to old.
Mature to old. So that,
but not as much as this.
Great.
When a planet is making a transition from outward expansion to inward expansion, it is huge. It is also a very delicate point in a planet's history, especially when most of the population is at three or four previous cycles. When that is the average for a population, and the species is independently mobile, and they're doing a karma game, it's a little tricky to make that transition from young to mature. And we won't.
It's the most difficult transition, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. In any planet, but especially because there are a lot of inexperienced beings here that may decide to throw around. There are babies in the house. Maybe it's time to lock the guns up, guys.
Wow. Thank you for the applicability.
And so there may be those who get so afraid by the and this is why you can see the conservative movement in your country becoming almost hysterical. Because the rate of change is happening so quickly. And the natural function of a conservative element in any society is to keep that society from transforming so quickly that it destabilizes itself. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, your current conservative party is freaking out, and they are not fulfilling that function.
Both of them are freaking.
They're becoming radicalized, wanting to change things back to the way they were, whatever that means to them.
The way we never were.
The way it never was. But again, it's an idealized place.
Yeah, the term for that is reaction
motion.
Exactly.
When you want to turn back to the past politically, that's called reaction.
Or in any way. And they seem to want that socially as well, from the way they're attacking reproductive freedom and other things at this time. Yes?
So what is the consciousness of the planet itself?
What do you mean?
Well, some speak of the planet as alive. Others regard it as a mud ball.
No, it's
so
totally alive.
That's what I'm speaking of, the consciousness of the planet itself.
We, in bodies, as well as all of the devics that take bodies, are part of the consciousness of that planet. So as humans, you could be seen to be the self-reflective part of that consciousness. Or as a whale or a dolphin, you'd be the self-reflective part of that consciousness. But there's still the autonomous functions of your nervous system that have to be carried out, right? Well, there's the devics, they are not as self-reflective, though they do reflect more to self than current science believes. And those devics extend to the mineral kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the plant kingdom. What part of Earth is not included in that? Mm-hmm. All of Earth is made up of all of that. So if all of that is conscious, then by definition, yes, Earth is a conscious place. And the more sophisticated a species, or however many ensouled species become on a planet, is how sophisticated that planetary consciousness becomes.
Yeah.
And planets actually kind of like it when they're sentient species. There's a lot of talk in environmental circles about humans being the evil virus, and the planet wants to get rid of us, and all of this. That is all narrative that's based on the old fall, the story of the fall from the Garden of Eden. And sinful, polluting humans are no longer going to be in the Garden of Eden because they can't do things right. That is the same Christian narrative you've been hearing over and over again in New Age / environmental terms. Humans are very much a beloved part of this consciousness by the Earth and by the universe.
Thank you.
All right?
Yes.
And
I always believe.
We at least have lots
yes.
of confidence that you'll be able to pull this off.
Sure, of course we will.
Because we know who you are.
Yeah.
And we know how powerful you all are. And we know you've done this in other cycles on other planets before. And many of you in this room actually specialize on transitions. You're actually what we would call transition team members that like to do this in every cycle you're in. This is the very ride you signed up for. And it's amazing.
It's a fun one.
And you will love
it.
It's the e-ticket. Buy the ticket, take the ride. That's right.
The e-ticket with the
me. You can always get off the ride if you want.
To
get right back in line.
Right.
Promise
no
you on
restrictions.
This. Also be aware that many of the baby, infant, and young souls are taking lots and lots of parallel lives right now. They're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Everyone of you in this room probably has about 10 to 12 recurrence already. You guys are handling about 10 to 12 each. Give and take at any given time, some die, some come in, all of that. But the younger ones are doing even more. 30, 40,
yeah.
they're really cramming.
Yeah.
So this effort isn't just by the mature and the old souls. Everyone on this planet knows what's happening and what's at stake. all of the essences are in agreement that the transition is happening and are all at varying levels of success at getting their personalities on board with that. Now, essence can't always overcome everything in the babies. Once you become a mature and old soul, essence has enough mastery over that particular biological instrument to usually be able to take over. But infant and baby and young souls don't have that experience. And sometimes they're so shut down and their energy field's so disturbed, their essence can't even plug in. By the time you become a mature and old soul, you've learned to shape your energy well enough that essence has pretty good access. And essence itself is skilled at getting through the defenses of that body. But while it's first come to the planet, the essence has to learn, just like it on any planet, how to get through the limitations of the biology of that body. Humans chose primates, chose hominids, and it's a very popular choice throughout the galaxy, actually, because even though they can be very violent, all right, and you know that, they have these violent impulses that have to be mastered. They are into everything. They open up every box. They look into everything. You know, that means that the potential for intelligence is off the charts in a hominid species. Because literally, you guys are into everything. How does this work? I don't know. We'll find out. And that generates intelligence. Not all species value intellectual intelligence as a trait, but hominids do. It's a very strong trait for us. Yes.
I'm wondering if concurrent lives ever meet. Could you meet another one of your spouse?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it can be very uncomfortable.
Have you met any?
Yes, I have. I've met a professional golfer named Rocco Mediate, who's the guy who beat Tiger Woods and made his knee blow up. And JP's met a concurrent out of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I know of about 7, actually, and I'll just say it's weird to meet one, because it's like you look at them and go, yeah, that's you. You know it's you if you're at our soul age level, and then you go, okay, and then you really, I mean, JP like emails this guy in New Zealand like every few months to every 6 months, but there's really no reason for them to talk because it just doesn't. There's just no learning there.
It's repetition. There's nothing to spark off of.
Yeah, there's nothing to spark off of.
You literally aren't interested. It's just, I met a concurrent once. Susanna here. I met a concurrent once, and it was like we acknowledged each other, and then we just kind of ignored each other the whole time. And my body was freaking out a little bit because it's like, okay, if you're over there, how can I be here? And
I have the experience with a concurrent, though, that she is doing things that I'm aware of. I have affections for
her.
And don't do, but she's doing them. And it's great to kind of like just check in and watch and listen and, you know, see what she's done and so forth.
Oh, yeah. You can get bleed through from these guys all the time. You can also get bleed through from your parallel selves. We'll get to that in a moment. Yes.
Now, I don't expect a long answer on this, but how would you identify somebody as a concurrent other than channeling?
If you tuned into what your body knew, your body would know it.
Yeah.
Because your body has a slight freak out whenever you meet a concurrent.
Yes.
Again, for that very reason. If you're over there, how can I be here? And the body starts to get a little bit nervous.
Your instinctive center is kind of freaking out because it's the same instinctive center
exactly. In
that other body. It's like
it's like your eyeballs being out of your head. It's a weird perspective, and you just try to avoid it. But you know, you could also do whatever meditation process that you do to do that inner validation. You can usually, in any kind of validation, figure out that the person's close to you, and that's usually enough to know. Yes.
I've identified through pictures. Seeing myself in a picture with somebody where we actually stand exactly the same, our bodies move exactly the same.
Yep.
We speak with the same intonation and the same pace and the same rhythm. And I go, I think that's concurrent.
Yep.
But, you know, I haven't found it uncomfortable.
Well,
if you've been in the physical presence of them, though, it's different.
Yeah.
If you're in the same room or you're standing next to them, it's different.
Yeah, you feel it. Well, I'm also physically centered, so I will feel it in my body before anything else.
I experienced the oddity of perceiving motion through another person's body when I'm in the same presence. Because I visit Muff every couple of years for short periods of time, just to kind of like touch in. Mm-hmm. Tell, you know, have girl talk.
Just touch yourself.
And then just, Well, we don't do that. Some of our spouses probably wouldn't approve of that, but nonetheless, it is an interesting kind of a perceptual show.
So if you had sex with her, would it be masturbation?
Totally.
You know, at least it would be the kind with the best, you know, possible imagination, I would think.
I don't think Essence would be interested in that. There wouldn't be enough contrast.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think answers would be interesting.
So, self karma or Judy.
Back to the council, hi. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the tools you can use to help yourself through a chaos node, because we're all about the tools. We're all about the practical tools to help you have a much happier and joyful, happier too, yes, a joyful physical experience. There is one technique that we use called the Purity Blast, and we want to introduce you to that. But before you master that one, you need to be pretty good with your unified field. So we're going to bring you through that today, but we recommend that you download the unified field if you haven't already. And one of the things we've noticed as a general rule that if you listen to that unified field at least once a day, it's about 6 minutes long, for 2 weeks, you'll be able to pop your fields together in unification pretty quickly by intention.
Okay.
What you're doing is like going to the gym. You're training yourself to hold your field to a certain orientation. Luckily for you, you can shift your energy fields much faster than your muscles.
Yeah.
At the gym.
Yeah.
You can shape it and condition it to hold that position. So in the unified position, you then request of your healing guides that they send you a purity blast. But before you ask this question, Ted, who are your healing guides? We ultimately are your healing guides. We have the Council of One. We oversee those kinds of things. But on the upper astral, everyone has a rotating group of beings from the upper and middle astral that are their healing guides. And it's a rotating group because, again, it's whoever happens to be available at the moment, that they know your medical records, they know your history. And if they're stumped on anything, they call us. Okay, well, how do we deal with this? So then we will come and commune with them on anything. But you call on your healing guides. Now, you have to call on your healing guides to send this energy because you do not produce it. And they don't produce it, but they know how to channel it into your bodies really well. So what a purity blast does is it sends a blast of purity through your body and fields. Purity is a white light with a touch of blue. And it almost feels cold to some people who are physically oriented. They'll feel it as a cold when they initially start doing it. Purity comes in and says, anything that doesn't belong here, get out of here. In other words, anything that doesn't align to essence gets out. Anything that doesn't fit the divine purpose or anything like that. Then, in between those blasts of purity, they send three when you ask for a purity blast, they're going to send ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is a purple so dark it is almost black. It's like the violet ray, which transmutes one energy from another. But when you use the violet ray, you transmute the energy and it kind of floats away from you like spores and just kind of fertilizes the universe. When you're using this technique of ultraviolet, your essence reclaims the energy released and uses it for whatever. Kind of like stem cell energy you could use for anything. So I kind of joke with people now, you leave your energy in my field, it's mine, I'm taking it. You ain't getting it back. I'm going to use it. What purity will do is it will, anything that doesn't belong here, get out of here. On the physical level, it is proven excellent. And now here I'm talking as the doc here. It has proved excellent in helping people with microbial infections.
Mm.
And helping them detox.
Mm.
So it helps their body handle the toxins. And honestly, people who have had long-term 20-year Lyme have used this and over time gotten themselves Lyme-free. It will help over time because it will cast that stuff out. You will have Herxheimer, just like you would have taking antibiotics or something, but it will do it. Also, I tell people that if you feel a cold coming on, start the purity blast right then. A lot of people, a lot of my clients who have done this, never get sick at all if they catch it soon enough. And then if they are sick and we do it, it shortens the time they're sick, but they're probably still going to be sick. So if you catch it when you're just getting symptomatic and start asking the guys to keep sending that purity blast, you're going to feel a lot better probably. Another thing on an energetic level is it clears other people's energy out of your field. That's nice too. And it clears your old dumped energy out of your field. Like let's say you were processing stuff and it's kind of sitting there like a squirm in your field. And I see it like that. This will come through and blast it out so you're not carrying this old weight around you. Purity blasts are great during a chaos node because all of that energy coming in sometimes has stuff you don't like in it from parallels.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are of a vibration that don't feel good. Maybe you pulled in a parallel where somebody was very sick, and all of a sudden you're getting symptoms, and you don't know how and why. You clear purity, that resonance breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, okay, that was a resonance from a parallel, and it's gone.
Yeah, when you're doing it, do you just say the words and then visualize it?
Well, you can visualize it. That I always think that consciousness precedes energy, precedes form. So the more of your consciousness you can bring to bear on it, the more powerful it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in all of the techniques I have a list of how you could visualize it if you want to, but it's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is prepare the vessel. You unify your fields and then ask that energy to come down. And some people visualize it or see it coming down if you're visual, and some don't. But you just have to ask, yes.
Is a synonym in this context for consciousness attention?
Yes. exactly, to be consciously aware. Because when we're infant, baby, and young souls, our guides will be interventionary. They'll step in. Oh, hey, don't step in front of that truck, little guy. You know, that kind of a thing. We're mature and old souls, and they are very hands-off. I mean, very. Which means, if you want to try it, tell us how that worked out for you, unless you ask.
Oh, Dr. Phil, say more.
How's that working for you?
How's that working for you? Huh? How's that working for you? I don't know. I don't watch Dr. Phil.
He says it all the time.
Oh, see, I don't watch him. Okay. But anyway, so yeah, how's that working out for you? But if you do ask for assistance, they will step in. And so really all of the stuff on the website is a way of getting the guide's attention, asking for certain types of help that you might not have known, oh, I should be asking for that.
Counsel.
Yes.
I'd like to say that one time I was trying to send a text to Susanna that I was having an issue we had been working on and I needed help, and I sent it to a wrong number. But the council still got it because the intention was there. This wrong number texted me back and told me the answer. And then they wrote at the bottom, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you sooner. I never knew who that person was. It was the council.
Exactly, yes. They will be everywhere, really. And the people who work with me, because I do my sessions mostly by phone these days, and I always tell people they can text me anytime, you know, because I don't look at my phone all the time. And I can't tell you how many times I look at a text saying, help, it really hurts, and thanks, I feel much better, and I'm reading a book in person. Why? Because if you're working with somebody like me and you send a text, that's like the guys in the break room are sitting around, boom, there goes the alarm. They know it's happening. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of noise in our heads. Hey, could you help me out with this? And they may or may not hear it with all the noise, and especially with electromagnetic interference these days, which is how they track. It can be confusing. So that's like sending up a flare saying, help! You know, and they will respond to that. So and that was a case in point. They find some way to get to her, one way or another. But it's taking that physical act on the physical plane. You're engaging with it. You're making it real. And so, therefore, the help comes even before I'm reading the damn text. So it works out really well.
It says in the Bible, before they call, I will answer.
That's
why
right.
They speak, I will hear.
Your intention is so strong through that because you are making the effort to text or send an email. That is a physical act. It has resonance. They will know.
And there were so many healings in Christian Science where, like, a woman will set a place on fire and all of a sudden her parents will get a SOS an hour later and the fire's already out and there wasn't anything.
No, exactly.
You know, it's not
exactly. But you know what, and I will tell you this, I tell all my clients this, the guides do not listen to complaints. They will tune them out.
Yeah.
If you ask for help, they will help you.
Help.
But for all they know, you just get a lot of juice out of complaining. After all, a lot of people do. Complaining to them is not a request for action. Mm-hmm. Complaining is expressing pain.
And actually, it's a prayer that brings you what you're complaining about. It's worse than
you
just
focus on what's causing you trouble, and that brings the suffering element into the pain.
Into the pain.
But instead, you say, "Hey guys, I could really use some help here." And the techniques on the website, they provide. Well, not saying that anymore. The techniques on the website, they all provide that. Okay. Tools just for that. They're all very practical. Hey guys, I need help, and this is what I need help with. Yes.
Can you ask the council for help for somebody else?
Absolutely, but it will be dependent on how much access they can have. Everybody believes that the beings on the fifth dimension can find out anything about anybody, and that just isn't true. If the person is really closed down, they won't be able to get it till that person uploads it in the Akashic after they die, okay?
Yeah.
So, and they won't be able to get it. Also, the council has often said to people, we are not interdimensional gossip.
That's right.
They're not going to go digging into somebody's head to find out how they feel about you. That's not their job.
Yeah. If
they
the person
will.
Doesn't want the help, they can't help.
Exactly.
That's right.
Not even Jesus himself would have presumed to heal somebody without their consent.
He never did.
Not without their consent.
What about
yes.
Help in children?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you can always ask for help from children. They're usually really receptive, unless they're damaged. If the children are damaged, they can be shut down for that reason, and then you might not be able to get through. Anytime somebody, where they have ears to hear, let them hear. Anytime somebody has receptive energy for it, they can receive it. And they don't, it's not like we're all pencil-sucking bureaucrats up here. If you don't ask us in just the right way, we're not going to show up. All we have to do is be asked.
Please remove that image.
You don't like pencil-sucking bureaucrats?
Oh, God. I would say I want superheroes.
Well, they didn't ask for it just the right way.
No, it wasn't that way at all.
We get the intent of what you're asking for. And if you're asking us to truly step in, we will. And because we at the council are of an interventionary group that goes in to heal people. So, but we don't do it without permission, and we are very, very clear on not overcoming free will. That would be karmic, and we will not create karma. So we are not just going to come in and fix you willy-nilly without your consent, or any other way, willy-nilly or any other way. You have to request it, but if you do, you're going to get some good work. And we'll be there, always. We always have been for all of you guys whenever you needed it. And when we were incarnating here, we were doctors and herbal people and doing all sorts of things. Before 1987, fifth dimensional healing practices were not available wide release on the physical plane. You could get them from occult teachings. A lot of our council healers were learning some of the techniques and practicing them, but it was very scattered. As of 1987, the Dharma Board released permission for it to be wide distribution, and we've been working really hard ever since through all of our various channeling and healing partners on the planet to get some of these new techniques and technologies down. And there's going to be a revolution in energy medicine like you cannot believe as a result of it.
When?
It's happening now.
It's happening.
It's underway now.
Yes.
The John of God is,
mm-hmm.
is the council working through John of God and his
when
guides?
When he lets us? When he lets us, yes. It, basically, that's the answer we will say to anybody. When they let us, yes, we will work through them. To the extent that any of you are open, all of spirit will work through all of you at any time at request. But there is a surrender involved. You are giving over your body, which is something that's very difficult for some people to do, because when we come in to work on you, we come into your body to work on you, because that's the only way we can figure out what's going off in your chemistry or every other way. And you could ask Susanna. She sees the schematic when we look at you. It's chemical breakdowns. It's very technical. We get what your hormones are doing, what the triggers are. Everybody's hormones are in a bad state right now because of electromagnetic pollution. Mm-hmm. Non-ionizing electromagnetic pollution disrupts the endocrine system, which is pretty serious when you think about it, because that pretty much runs everything else in the body. However, luckily, you're getting to a technology that will be light-based, and that won't be so disruptive. Yes?
Fukushima.
Yes, about it.
Are there impacts that are affecting us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because you live on one planet with one. Ultimately, all of the waste from Fukushima will circulate through the ocean currents, mm-hmm. through the atmospheric currents. Within a week of Fukushima happening, they were finding trace radiation in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That was within a week.
What can we do?
Purity blasts. Purify yourself and take that purity blast into the water when you go into the ocean, into the mm-hmm. lake when you go into the lake. Mm-hmm. When you are walking on the beach, ask for cyclones of purity to whip on through. You help be the anchor for that, and we can do that.
Okay.
We can't just do that without physical anchor. If you open yourself to be a physical anchor for us to do this work, we will happily oblige. But with the unified field, you can be sure that we'll come through and everything will stay clean, and you'll feel good and energized and not drained. Because when your fields are properly oriented, no energy work should make you feel physically drained. Maybe mentally exhausted, but not physically drained. If you're using the unified field, the energy is coming through your fields, it's not impacting your body, and there's literally no effective upper limit to how much energy you can channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the capacity of whatever it is you're channeling the energy out that is the limiting factor.
So do the turquoise, right. Can I do it when I'm driving across the San Mateo Bridge and run it down right into the bay?
You do it.
I
what do you mean?
I know. But
what do you mean? I didn't know.
I say, do you mind if I do this? I already did it. You like to ask permission after the fact.
I know. It's easier to get forgiveness than permission.
Always easier to say you're sorry than ask permission.
Can I do it again?
Oh, again.
So I don't know what our time's like
and
here.
Again in the
I didn't know about the purity blast, though. That's new.
Purity blast, but you have to have your unified field. If you don't, they won't send it.
Okay.
They won't send it. We'll just say, okay, they can't handle it, we won't send it. So it's not going to fry you or hurt you, but it's just
I'll be doing it in 2 weeks.
Yes.
On handling Fukushima radiation, what about eating oranges and avocados at the same time?
What are you trying to accomplish by that, other than an odd combination?
Remove the effects of the radiation.
It won't remove the effects, but it will mitigate. Remember, on the physical plane, you're subject to physical laws. There are going to be things that are going to physically affect you no matter what you do. The reason your bodies age is because of radiation. That is the only reason your bodies age, because radiation keeps time on the physical plane. So it's the background radiation of the planet, the radon, that ages your cells and causes your body to wear out and die. So therefore, exposing yourself knowingly to more of this seems counterintuitive to us. If you want to feel younger, don't irradiate yourselves.
You could have just called us stupid, and we would have said, yeah,
we probably did. We don't feel that way.
Well, let me ask you, let me ask the council this.
Yes.
Could we create a ray or somehow cleanse ourselves from that radiation every day? Just run it
using
through
the purity
us.
Blast, it will not clean it all out, but it keeps your body from reacting negatively to it, which
That's
is
what
causes the damage.
Okay.
See, the purity doesn't get rid of the radioactive particles or the heavy metals or the other things. It makes your body less reactive and inflammatory to it. Therefore, it's inflammation that causes disease, and you could be carrying these things very safely in your body without getting sick from it.
Sure.
It isn't that you want to get rid of it, it's that you don't want to be affected by it. So the purity will help you not be affected by it.
That plutonium isn't going anywhere.
Exactly. It's going to stay exactly where it is.
It's around for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years.
I want to look
That's
just
right.
like this, feel just like this when I'm 83.
And how old are you now?
69.
Why not
95?
Use purity blast. It could happen for you.
I'm going to do it.
Because we have heard it said from many of the clients, I look younger. Wow, this stuff gets me looking younger.
Well, that'd be good if I go
because
backwards.
When you're bathing in 5D energy, it youthens you. It makes you vibrant and glowing with your own spirit. Yes.
So you said in order for the purity blast to work, the unified field has to be embedded here.
It just has to be functional. You have to have a functioning unified field.
Okay, and how does that get functional in meditation?
The meditation's going to train you to how to do that.
Okay.
So you could either ask for it after you've done the meditation, but if you listen to that meditation, it's only 6 minutes long. And you could be doing the dishes. It's not like one of those Buddhist mindfulness meditations. You just have to have it in your consciousness space,
mm-hmm.
and your fields will follow. Believe me, your fields want to be unified. It's their natural state.
Mm-hmm.
It's this disunity that we've come through in the karma game in order to experience karma. It was the only way we could make ourselves do it.
So disunification doesn't come from radiation. It comes from the karma.
Pardon me?
The disunification of the fields.
Comes from karmic choices.
Radiation or
physical. No, things can pull your fields apart. Absolutely. You can get, like, the electromagnetic pollution of cell phones and Wi-Fi right now are wreaking havoc on people's fields, especially when the space weather gets bad and it creates transients in these cities with all these metal towers. It's incredible. If people could see what it was doing to their fields, they would freak out.
So no matter how our fields became disunified,
right.
The technique that you understood.
We'll unify it. It doesn't matter. You will unify it. Because most people are unconscious, so they let it stay disunified. Because they don't know that it's supposed
sure.
to be anywhere. And then they're depressed and they're sad and they don't know why. And they think it's because of this and they think it's because of that. But really, it's because their EM field isn't functioning enough to have their spiritual body interface with their mental and emotional body so they can feel connected to essence.
Mm.
When people don't feel connected to essence, they get depressed. I don't care what level of consciousness they're at. They will, and they'll impute it to some other reason, but they will get depressed. They will be sad. They will be in grief. They will feel despair. Despair is saying no to God, okay?
Yeah.
You don't feel that when essence is in the house. So when people say, I feel really sad, I feel despair, I say, unify your fields. Because as soon as essence gets in there, that despair is gone. You may still feel sad, but you won't feel despair. You'll feel a sense of, okay, and I will weather this. I'll weather this. Because you'll have your essence on your side, in you, doing this for you. And if you unify the fields at least once a day for 2 weeks, I've found most people get it way before 2 weeks. You'll probably get it way before 2 weeks. But just to be on the safe side, do it for 2 weeks. Then you get to where you just kind of breathe in and flip it together. When I start working with clients and they first learn the unified field, usually by the next time I talk to them, when I start the phone, their fields are unified already. They're holding it. The fields want to stay unified. So if you just give it that little bit of extra help, it'll get to the point where the unified field is your default position. And you'll know it when you're not unified, and that's when you'll reunify your fields.
And when those fields are unified, is that the less likelihood of creating parallel tracks?
No, you know, you can still make choices that create parallel tracks. What it means is that you're more likely to navigate to the parallel track that's more to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
And then have you increased your capacity then to receive the energy when those channels are
yes.
compressing down?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But what I also recommend is using turquoise. The turquoise ray specifically opens up capacity. Grace. Silver Ray, another good one. Grace is like cosmic lubricant. Everything goes better with grace, okay? Grace allows for a fresh start in the now moment, free of karma. Boom. You could literally, if you're in a karmic interaction with somebody and you bring grace in, you could detach at least for a second long enough to pull back and hopefully unify before you re-engage. These are all techniques for getting out of polarity, because ever since I was a little child, I knew because of things that had happened to me, I had to deal with polarity. I had to find a way to neutralize polarity or people would be victimizing me my entire life. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't find a way to fix it, so all of this is like a result of my search to try to fix that problem. That's what a bad thing about abusing kids is that they put that polarity in very early and they attract more attackers to them. And so I saw the dynamic because I was born that, the way to see the energy. I saw that dynamic, and at 7 years old, I decided I was going to fix it. And so a lot of these tools have come about as a result of my search to do that. And they work, guys. They do work. They seem very simple. And it seems like you're just telling yourself stuff, but your consciousness is shifting your energy, and the form of your experience will change as a result. The stuff works if you use it, I swear. Yes?
Would turquoise, the rock,
yes,
help as well?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. A lot of people like to carry around a little rock of turquoise just to remind them of that, because turquoise holds that vibration. I'm not really good with gems, but if there's a really strong fuchsia gem, fuchsia is the next ray that we're going to be really getting to know. Divine fuchsia comes in from the sixth dimension, and it's the ray of unity.
Sugilite might be good for that.
Sugilite, yeah, I don't
know. Sugilite is fuchsia.
Yeah, whatever is a good fuchsia stone, those are good ones to hold around. They don't only look good in 80s clothes, they go together well. That's what you want.
I have a
turquoise is going to be the expansion, and fuchsia is going to be the celebration. Okay, and the unity.
Fuchsia is unity, and turquoise is capacity.
Yeah, really it does. It, you know, the first thing I do when I work on a new client, or any client, is I saturate their body and fields with turquoise so that they can receive what the council is about to give them. Because if they don't have capacity, they're not going to get good results. So the first thing, and we always go with what the body wants, love never forces. We are never forceful. Like some 4D healers are very forceful in their energy, but not us. We let the body determine the pace of the healing. And then it holds the healing. Because you can see these people go up and get, yay, healed by the power of Jesus, I'm walking again. But if you go visit them a week later, I bet you they're back in the wheelchair.
It depends. Not always.
Well, sometimes they are, because their body couldn't handle the shift. Because their body's been sick for a long time, but now it has to have capacity to handle being well.
Yeah.
What the 5D work does is make sure that the capacity is there so that when they make that switch, they hold it. They stay cured or fixed or healed or whatever it is. They're very good at that. Anybody else? Because I think we're hitting time here.
Yeah.
So
you said the turquoise brings capacity and the fuchsia ray coming brings
unification.
Celebration.
Celebration and unification.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Council of One, is the one the pulling into the polarities into one, or is the one, what is the one?
They refer to the one as being we are one with all,
with all life.
We are one. They say anybody who's saying anything these days, it's going to all boil down to we are one. Everything they say is just we are one.
Okay.
And that is what everybody's going to be saying through all the different voices and all the different channels and all the different beings. So I've been going way too long. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thanks, guys. Thank you all. Glad
that went so fast.
She might have mentioned her website. Not sure.
Yes.
Let's see.
www.councilofone.org.
No spaces.
I got no stone right off the top of my head that really looks fuchsia to me. I got to go look. Like some sort of garnety thing, but I'll get back to you on that.
A white fuchsia stone, because a lot of my clients like to carry stones.
Garnet.
Oh.
Garnet can come close.
It's not right.
It's
not quite
right.
Right.
I agree with you.
You know that 80s fuchsia? That's closer.
Yeah. So we'll find a good fuchsia stone. I just am not channeling the Michael Jemison Dictionary right now. Lunch is in 20 minutes after, you're free to go now. There should be a hat somewhere for people that want to give a gratuity to the people who stay
the hat.
Put the